Acts Acts chapter 13. Last week we saw that Herod had died, and that upon Herod's death, what happened is there became the political pressure was relieved to a degree from the church, and we also saw, as we looked at closed on Wednesday night, the fact that the Word of God grew and was multiplied, and that people were being saved, and that Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem, and they fulfilled their ministry, and John Mark returned with them. They went back to Antioch, and when we get back there, they're going to be commissioned to go on their first missionary journey. I forgot to set this up, they are going to be going from Antioch to Cyprus, which is the island in the middle of the island off the coast of Lebanon and Greece in the Mediterranean. So let's begin at chapter 13, and we'll begin at verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, and which was with the deputy of the county, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him, and said, "O full of subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou empty enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." Immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just speak to us through your word this afternoon. And Father, help us to see that you are there to be with your people, that you have called to accomplish your purposes. And Father, I pray that you would help us to see that even as Paul and Barnabas begin to start their first missionary journey, that Father, you are there, and how that Satan would attempt to stop them immediately from proclaiming the truth. But Father, you are there to intercede and to help us. Lord, now I pray that you just speak to us through your word this afternoon. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Wednesday night it was, we were looking at the various Herod, the Herod family. And one of the Herods was Herod Antipas. And Herod Antipas was the one that's being referred to in this chapter 3. And we're going to be taking a look here. It says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. And I want you to see who they are. First of all, Barnabas was considered to be a teacher. You see that he was sent by the church in Jerusalem, remember, up to Antioch to see what was going on up there. He's a man who loved the Lord, and he would desire to teach others and bring others to faith in Christ. Simeon, that was called Niger, and this man was probably also from the northern coast of Africa, and he was in Antioch. And remember, we said that there was those that had come from the coast of Cyrene on the northern shores up to Antioch with the gospel. This man was one of them, and the next man also, Lucius of Cyrene. They evidently were two of the men that had brought the gospel from Cyrene up to Antioch and had led people to Christ and opened up where people could hear the gospel message and come to know the Lord. And the church in Antioch had Jews in it, but it also had Gentiles as well. And we see that these two men were teachers within that church. Then it's also interesting, it says, and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. Now, who is Herod the Tetrarch? I said he's Herod Antipas. Now, what did it mean, had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch? Well, he was an adopted son, if you would, of that family, and had been brought up within the Herod family along with Antipas. And Antipas was one of the rulers of this portion of Israel. And if you remember from our study on the Herods, Antipas's father had been killed by his grandfather, Herod the Great. But this man had been brought up in their home, and this man had come to faith in Christ. And it shows that God has the ability to touch hearts, even in the most, in places that we would say, how would anyone ever get saved in the house of Herod? We just got done looking on Wednesday night how wicked a group of people they were, and how that they went about killing people and had no respect for life. And yet there was a man who had grown up in that home who had come to know Christ. And not only had he come to know Christ, but it says he was a Bible teacher. He was the one who was instructing others in the Word of God. And it shows the power of God's Spirit to transform men's hearts and to God to call them into areas of usefulness that we would say, well, how would they ever end up there? And we see that that's exactly what happened. And then the last teacher that they mentioned that was there was Saul, who was later referred to for the first time as Paul when they set them apart. Now, God had plans for Barnabas and Paul. These other men, it appears, remain in Antioch to be teachers, and teachers are needed, those that can instruct and help people grow and mature. And at this time in the church, there were literally hundreds coming to faith, and many of them, if they were Gentiles, had no knowledge of the Scriptures. And so it was important and critical that there be teachers that could instruct them so that they could know more about God, His character, who He was, how He desired to work in and through them, and how what His plan for the ages was of sending Jesus as His Messiah. And so we see that they remained there, but Barnabas and Paul were set aside. In verse 2 it says, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And now remember, when was Paul originally called? When was Saul originally called? You go all the way back, and this would be quite some time ago, when he was going on the road to Damascus to persecute the church. to have people thrown in prison, to drag them back to Jerusalem, to even have some of them put to death. That was his intent. And Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus. And what did he tell him? He said that he was going to be an apostle to the Gentiles. He was commissioning Paul to a commission, even when he was walking in rebellion to him, yet God called him, transformed him, and Saul accepted that Jesus truly is the Messiah, and accepted him as his Lord and Savior, and Jesus commissioned Saul at that time to go with the gospel unto the Gentiles. Up until this time, Saul, who later became Paul, had been preaching mainly to Jewish people. Remember, he was preaching in Jerusalem. He was preaching in the synagogues before that in Damascus after he got saved. Then he went to Jerusalem, was preaching there in the temple. And he was brought under scrutiny of those that hated God, the Jewish leaders that desired to quell and stop the church. And so they were planning to kill him, and people found out, and so they sent him away to Tarshish. And if you remember, then he went from Tarshish down to Antioch to help Barnabas with the teaching of the new Christians there. Now Barnabas and Saul are going to be commissioned to go what God had intended for them, and that is to take the gospel not just to Antioch, not just to Jerusalem, but throughout the Middle East at that particular time. On the first missionary journey of Saul and Barnabas, we see that they leave Antioch and they go to the island, they go to another coastal city where they catch a boat, and they take that boat and go over to Cyprus. And so it says, and so they begin being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed on to Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. So Seleucia is a city along the coast that would be south and west of Antioch, and that's where they got their boat to go over to the island of Cyprus. And when they got to the island of Cyprus, they preached in the synagogues, and they were very bold in their preaching, and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, that is the Jews, and seeing ye put it from you, judge yourselves unworthy. Oh, I'm sorry, I turned the wrong page. And they also took with them John, and then they went over to Cyprus, and they began to preach. And when they had gone through the isle to Paphos, now Paphos is a city that would be located on the southwest corner of Cyprus. So they landed on what would be the northeast corner, and they went through across the island to the southwest corner of the island of Cyprus. And while they were on the island of Cyprus, they were preaching the gospel. And when they got to this city on the called Paphos, which is on the southwest corner of the island, there was a magistrate there who was very interested in finding out about what they were talking about. But there was also an enemy of the gospel there too, who desired to prevent the magistrate from hearing the gospel. And I want you to understand, when you get serious with God, Satan is going to try and stop your message from being proclaimed. He's going to try and stop your message from being heard. And that's exactly what he was doing here. And this man that Paul and Barnabas and Mark encountered was a false prophet. And there's some interesting things. He was a false prophet. He was also a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus. And Bar-Jesus means the son of Joshua. So that was his name. It's interesting to look at the character of this man. Being a Jew, he should have known the truth. But we also know that there were Jews that wanted to squelch the truth, and some of them were religious Jews. This man was also a false prophet. He claimed to be a prophet, but he brought a false message, and anything that he did prophesy came from Satan, not from God. And so he was a false prophet. And then the third thing was his name. The name Yeshua means salvation is of the Lord. And so his name means the son of the one whose salvation is of the Lord. His name is totally opposite of what his character was. Satan oftentimes will come with great deception. That's one of the great things that he's known for, is his deception. And he comes, and when he comes to deceive, he doesn't come and say, "Hey, I'm a false prophet, but I'm going to come and I'm going to have a name that sounds really, really holy. I'm going to come and say that I'm a prophet, and I'm going to come and try and convince you of all of this, and you should listen to me, because as a Jew, I know the scriptures." And that's what this man was. And it's, guess what? Paul and Peter both said that in the day in which we live, this type of individual is going to come and going to be even greater in number than they ever have been. Jesus said that the false prophets and the false Christ would be known as one of the signs that would be there before he returned. And what is the goal of a false prophet? What was this man's desire? To keep people from knowing the truth. Anyone who is there to deceive you desires that you do not know, nor understand, nor perceive the truth. Well, what was his influence? What was this man's, this false prophet's sphere of influence? Which was with the deputy of the country. The deputy of the country would have been the ones that the Roman government had placed in charge of the island of Cyprus. This man had an extremely important position on this island. He was the overseer of it, if you would, on behalf of the Roman government. And this man was found in his presence. One of the things that he was doing there, I'm sure, was giving him counsel. He wanted to be there to give him counsel. One of the things you need to pray, even in current day in which we live, is that people seek counsel from those that are true believers and truly sent from God and not false prophets. I remember when President Trump was first elected, he had a number of individuals that were meeting with him in the White House and surrounding him, and many of them had were praying for them, and they said that they were going to prophesy over him. But then I started seeing some of the people that were there, and guess what? There were deceivers and false prophets amongst them. There were people like Kenneth Copeland, Paula White. Paula White supposedly became the most close spiritual advisor that President Trump had. Yet these people, they're false prophets. They hold to a doctrine that's a false doctrine. And their gospel isn't a true gospel. And yet, so we need to pray that when there are politicians like this man who is in charge of this island, that those that are false prophets and false teachers would not get there to them and prevent them from hearing the truth and doing what God has called them to do. Well, that's what this Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, was really attempting to do, was to squelch the truth from reaching Sergius Paulus, a prudent man. And by a prudent man, it means someone who really desired to know the truth. And he wanted to carry out the truth. And guess what Satan does? Whenever you have someone that's seeking the truth, Satan will come and try to undermine that search. And he's a prudent man who is called, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. So he wanted to know the true gospel. I'm sure that what had come to his ears in Cyprus, what had been going on all over that part of the region. Remember, literally hundreds of people were coming, thousands really, were coming to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. They were talking about the fact that Jesus had risen from the dead, that he paid the sin, penalty for the sins of the people, and that he had truly was the Messiah that had been spoken of by the prophets, the Jewish prophets in scriptures. And this Sergio Paulus wanted to know more about that. And so Paul and Barnabas are going to present this truth to him. Well, guess who intercepts them on the way? Bar-Jesus, whose name was Elymas, the sorcerer. And the Holy Spirit labels him correctly. He's a sorcerer. He's a one who brings false messages and false spirits and presents these to people. And this was who he was. For so is his name by interpretation. He withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. And so he's standing there, and Paul and Barnabas are coming, and he gets in between them and tries to convince Sergio Paulus, these men don't know what they're talking about. And he argues with them, and it tries to come against the gospel. Well, what happens? It says that Saul, who is also called Paul, and this is the first time we see him called Paul in the book of Acts, he's filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. So I want you to understand, where does discernment come from? This is something that really is lacking in much of the church today, is discernment. So where do we get our discernment from? It's from the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to understand that everyone who is a true believer in Jesus Christ should have a discerning spirit. Why? Because every believer possesses the Spirit of God. Jesus said he's going to send his Spirit to indwell all believers. And if his Spirit is indwelling us, we have the ability to have a spirit of discernment. What are the things that can prevent us from having a spirit of discernment? One, we can grieve and quench the Holy Spirit. Paul could have looked at this guy and go, well, man, he's got credentials. Maybe I shouldn't say anything against him. When the Spirit of God is telling him to do the exact opposite, what would Paul be doing? He would be quenching the Holy Spirit, who was giving him direction to speak, and he'd be grieving the Holy Spirit in that case by trying to do something totally different. But we're not to grieve or quench the Holy Spirit. We're to listen to the Holy Spirit. And so if there's times in your life where you feel a check in your spirit that something doesn't feel right about what's being preached, something doesn't feel right about what's being taught, that is the Holy Spirit trying to reveal to you that there's a false teacher in the midst and that there's a false gospel being preached. And so that's the first way that you don't respond. The second way that you don't respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit and have a discerning spirit is you don't know the Word of God. Now, one of the things that Paul and Barnabas did is they both know the Word of God. Why? How do we know that? Well, because they had been sent by the church up to Antioch to teach them. You don't send people up to teach people that don't know what they're teaching. So Paul and Barnabas both were grounded in the Word of God. They knew the Word of God. And so when this man comes who says, oh, these guys aren't telling you the truth, immediately their ears hear this, and what does their spirit do? It equates what he's saying to the Word of God, and there's no equation. It's not jiving. It doesn't come together. He's preaching something that's totally different. The only reason they could do that is they knew the Word of God. So the way that you have a discerning spirit is to respond to the Spirit's leading under the direction of the Word of God. Now, what you have today in the church is many people don't even know the Bible at all. They don't know the principles of God's Word. They don't know the character of God. They don't know anything about the Scriptures. And yet they have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But then all of a sudden someone comes along who's a false teacher like Bar-Jesus, And he says, well, I got all these credentials. Look at me. I've got a great following. And I'm sure Bar-Jesus had a following on this island as a false prophet. People would come to him and want to have the future foretold, and he would tell them. And so he had a following, and he had credentials that weren't proper credentials, but he said what they were, and people followed him, a false teacher. The only way you're going to see that he's a false teacher is by the Word of God and His Spirit revealing it. So the Spirit of God reveals that to Paul, and then what does Paul do with it? What are we to do when we see someone who's a false teacher? Do we just go, well, I guess if the guy really wants to listen to him, I better not say anything. If someone is there presenting a different gospel and a false gospel to somebody, should we just sit there and let it happen? No, we should stand up and say, that's not right. This is the true gospel, and this is exactly what Paul did. What did Paul do? Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Spirit, set his eyes on him. And he said, O full of subtlety and mischief. What is subtlety? Subtlety is you're being very crafty. You're not being upfront. You're doing it kind of behind the scenes. You're trying to do something that's not right. It's subtly being done. That is, you're not telling the whole thing. And he said here that this man was full of subtlety and mischief. And mischief is you desire to do ill to someone. If you're out to do mischief, I remember when I was a kid in school, at various times the kids would do, some of the high school kids would get involved in mischief. And they would go downtown, and there's an implement dealer, and they take some of their implements from the dealership and they pull them out into the street. I remember, I wasn't in school when this happened, but one time there was some kids that they got a cow and they brought it into the, they broke into the school at night. They took the cow all the way upstairs and let the cow loose, and it was a two-story school upstairs in the school. This is mischief. Was the purpose of this to get something good for someone? Was the purpose of this to help people? Can you imagine coming to school on Monday morning, and here's a cow wandering around creating a mess everywhere? Can you imagine the implement dealer coming and he wants to go to work the next morning and hear his equipment's all over the street? People can't drive down the street because there's implements in the center of the street. This is mischief, and it's done with the purpose and intent to harm and do people ill. And that's exactly what he was doing. He was full of subtlety, not giving the whole truth, skirting the edges, and mischief, desiring to do them ill. And Paul goes on, thou child of the devil. Where does this type of character come from? It's not godly character. Doesn't matter if this man says, well, I'm a prophet. You're a prophet of what? A prophet of Satan. You're a son of the devil. And that's exactly what Paul calls him. Thou enemy of all righteousness. And one who would attempt to prevent someone from hearing the gospel is someone who is an enemy of righteousness, because they desire that people continue in their sin and not be set free from it. That's what this man was. And Paul says, ye enemy of righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Aren't you going to stop? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee. This guy had the opportunity to repent when he heard the gospel. But he didn't. Instead, he attacked the gospel and tried to silence the gospel and tried to present a different gospel. And so Paul says, okay, you're not going to turn from your wickedness, and you're doing all of these things. May the Lord begin to deal with you. And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind. And God caused this man to be blinded. It wasn't the Apostle Paul, it was the Lord, not seeing the sun for a season. This was evidently wasn't a permanent blindness, but it was something that showed God's power both to him and to all those, including Sergius Paulus, who was there in presence seeing all of this and hearing this interchange that went on between Bar-Jesus and Paul and Barnabas. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeing some to lead him by the hand. In other words, exactly what Paul foretold and said would happen to him, happened to him. He was blinded. He couldn't see. He needed somebody to lead him. And the physical blindness is really an indication of what was happening in his heart. He had great spiritual blindness, and he was attempting to keep others enslaved to that spiritual blindness. Well, what happened as a result of these interchanges of Paul having a discerning spirit, being led by the Spirit of God, and walking in the power of God, and not being deceived by this false prophet? A man gets saved, and that man is Sergio Paulus. And we see here in verse 12, then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed. He believed. What did he believe? He believed everything Paul had said, and that included that Jesus was the Messiah and that Jesus had come to save him. And he believed nothing that Bar-Jesus had been saying, but instead he believed the words of Paul and Barnabas. He believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. And you can about imagine being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. A totally different doctrine than he'd been being taught by Bar-Jesus. You can imagine what that man was teaching. Paul is saying you can be set free from your sin. You can be delivered from your sin. You can walk in the newness of life. You're a new character, have a new heart, a new mind. You're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You're transformed from darkness into light. You can understand the Word of God. You can walk as a child of God. All of these things had not been told by Bar-Jesus, but had been told by Paul, and this man was astonished by it. I want you to know there's a lot of people today in our world that are astonished by the gospel when they hear it. But problem is, oftentimes they don't hear it. There's false teachers out there, false prophets, false teachers, and they're going about with a different gospel. They're saying, get your eyes on something else. I was telling somebody just yesterday, I said, one of the things that really disturbed me about everything that happened over the last two-plus years is that I sense there's a lot of people that are looking for Trump or some other man to come on the scene and deliver us from all this mess. When the Bible says we should be looking to Jesus to be our deliverer, not a man. And so it's very easy to get caught up in false doctrine, but you need to be astonished with the true doctrine of the Word of God. Why would God send His Son, who is without sin, to earth to take the sin of the world upon Himself and die and pay the penalty for my sin, someone who is worthy of death? That's astonishment as you stop and think about it. Yet God did it. And we should be proclaiming it. So the key, the two keys to learn from this lesson is, number one, never give up on anyone and think that they're above or beyond hearing the gospel. You could have said, well, he's a Roman authority. He would never want to hear the gospel. Well, that's not true. He wanted to hear. And the other thing is that we need to have a discerning spirit so we can discern when there's someone presenting a false gospel and counteract that with the truth of God's message and condemn those that are speaking a false gospel. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just help us to understand these truths, help us to apply these truths to our life, and Lord, may we walk as men and women who have discerning spirits. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you turn to 675, 675.